Hello, and welcome to the Gameslave Podcast, episode 128. I'm Proteus.
I'm Assimilator.
And I'm Zelda Queen.
And this week has been another busy one. In which...
we didn't get anything done.
Yeah, there was a little bit of Doctor Who, and a little bit of Skyrim, and that was about it.
And a couple random anime episodes.
Yeah, I've watched random animes too, mainly. That and playing Dishonored. So, let's go ahead, let's do a few animes, and we'll jump into Dishonored to kind of mix things up, and then back into the animes.
Yeah.
I guess so.
All right. I'll go ahead and start with one of the ones I was watching. This is one of the... I'm still not sure how to feel about this one, because I've only gotten two episodes in. It's called High School D&D. And basically the story goes, this kid who is an admitted perv, him and his friends, he finally gets a girlfriend, goes on a date, at the end of the date, she kills him. And then he's brought back to life.
Oh, is this a zombie one?
No.
Okay.
No, that one's on my list. I haven't watched it yet, though. So, he gets stabbed through the chest with a spear, and as he's dying, this demoness gets summoned and basically resurrects him as a demon himself and turns him into her slave. In the second episode, they actually explain his situation. It's like, okay, so what killed you, and what killed you a second time, because he got attacked again, were fallen angels. So basically, the demons are fighting the fallen angels and the angels, and the fallen angels are fighting the demons and the angels, and then, of course, the angels are fighting the other two. So you got the nice three-way war constantly going on. But it's the demons' jobs to keep a hold of hell that way instead of letting the fallen angels take it over, and to sign contracts with humans in order to turn them into their slaves in the real world. And at first, I kind of thought this episode, based on the name, it's like, well, maybe they're going to use, you know, some D&D... background for it. I'm not really sure that's the case. I think more or less the D&D is just them referencing the main female character's bust size. So I don't think this is going to be an anime for Zelda Queen.
No.
And they do the same thing, kind of like what you were talking with Yamada's first time. Whenever they have to censor something, it's one of the D's flying over the part that's being censored. It even has wings that flap.
I like any of the East censoring, because it's just scribbles. It's just like a little scribble bass that moves. It's really kind of funny.
I remember that. That was pretty entertaining. But so far, basically, this kid has divine gear in him. And it materialized as a gauntlet on his hand when he got in trouble in order for him to fight back when the first fallen angel that killed him found out he was still alive and tried it again. Only this time he could actually defend himself. And the episode 2 ended with basically him being told, you gotta be more careful, not just to attack them outright, because they can still kick your ass. So I'm gonna watch more of the series to see where the story actually goes with this.
It's like, what is the purpose?
Exactly. But I'm only two episodes in, so I'm gonna give it a chance.
What have I been watching? Oh, mine's just been random, since we signed up for Hulu Plus finally. And I was wanting to sketch Friday night. So I'm like, oh, I'll put something on. Only problem is this Hulu Plus, it has a great selection of stuff. It's just all subtitled. And when you're trying to draw, and you just want something that you can listen to while you're drawing and looking up occasionally, it doesn't work very well.
Nah, it doesn't work very well at all.
Because I was watching a random episode of Princess Jellyfish, because it's a good little series and I liked it. And I had started rewatching through it on the computer, so I was like, oh, I'll just watch this episode. Then they actually have the Tenchi Muyo OVAs on there, so I started watching that. That one is much better as a subtitle, because really the dub is bad. Earlier popular anime release, some of the characters worked out good, like Ryoko wasn't so bad. Tenchi was okay, but Ayaka? Oh, I wanted to strangle the voice actress who did Ayaka. Because it was just bad. It just was not the voice you were expecting for the character at all. But I started watching that. And they have Helsing Unlimited, but again, I'm going to think it's subtitled. But I'm not 100% sure on that, considering how... See, I would figure that, you know, Tenchi would not have been subtitled, considering how old it is. But no, only subtitled version.
I think since those ones specifically are from Funimation, and Funimation's own subscription service, one of the big things is be able to watch dubbed versions of the shows. They're not really releasing too many episodes of the dubbed versions to services such as Hulu. I know I was looking at one, Sea Control.
Yeah.
You'll notice it has two listings for episode one and two listings for episode two. My guess, that means one of the listings is subbed, one of the listings is dubbed, and then after the first two episodes, you just see one listing of each. I'm going to assume that means they're all subtitled.
Yeah, it's kind of how Funimation does it on their website, too. They give you the first two episodes of the dub for free, but if you want to watch the rest of the series with the dub, you got to sign up for the Elite subscription.
Another $7.95 a month.
Yeah, and I just like, I can't do anymore.
I might consider it once they release an app for like the PlayStation 3 or Xbox. That way I don't have it limited solely to my computer and Android devices.
That means I can't do it on my DVD player, which is currently what we're funneling everything through.
And for what I can't remember which brand of DVD player that Funimation was going to make an app for, but it was not the brand that we have.
Was it Roku?
No, it wasn't Roku. Well, they are doing a Roku, but there was a specific brand of DVD and TVs that they were going to be.
Well, Samsung. Samsung's the one that will have the button that will take you directly to Funimation.
Okay.
I don't think we have a Samsung. I think we have a Toshiba. And no, what is our DVD player? I thought it was a Samsung. Or is it Panasonic? Or is it? It's definitely not a Sony. I know that.
Where's the remote?
It is a Samsung. I was like, there's the remote. Good pointing out.
Well, maybe we do have the appropriate.
Maybe you'll get your firmware updated and it'll have the Funimation app.
You just have to install them, I think. I'm not sure.
I guess it depends if they have an app store on their DVD player.
Yeah,
an app
they
store
do.
For DVD
well,
player.
It's not so much a store as a download central, basically.
An app library?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they don't cost anything, because it's, you know, it's like the application to use Netflix, the application to use Hulu.
Application to use Pandora.
Yeah.
Basically, it's the app so you can buy the services that the apps are offering.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
Okay, well, yeah, so that's how I think it's supposed to work.
Yeah, and I'm just like, I guess really, really, if I boil it down, since we have Netflix, Hulu Plus now, and if we got Funimation, that would be three things at $8.24 a month. Honestly, I watch a lot of stuff.
That's a lot less than cable.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, you're still less than the base cable one at $30 a month.
And I get so much more
And
options.
You get to pick what you want to watch and when you want to watch it without having to record it yourself.
That's always nice.
And it's very Hulu Plus. Yes, there's a few commercials, but they're not annoying. I don't have to watch 50 bazillion political ads.
Really?
Well,
now you sure do.
Like three. You have three political ads out of the five total.
Some channels were having political ad-free spots. Like, apparently Channel 7 had like a 30-minute slot that somebody bought saying, free of all political ads, was playing soothing music and had soothing backgrounds, like, of, you know, the environment and stuff to look at. And they're like, yeah. Oh, this is nice.
Meanwhile, you know, like, we're watching, like, one of the shows that really drew me to going and getting Hulu Plus is The Daily Show, which I've been missing a lot because, great.
Sometimes after a while, I'm just like, I'm not comfortable sitting at my computer desk watching stuff on my computer all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's not terrible.
It just gets uncomfortable at times sitting in an office chair. Sometimes you like to stretch it on the couch, not look at something on a 21-inch monitor.
Yeah.
Which is kind of sad, really, considering my parents' first television was only 19 inches.
We've moved up from then.
Yes. People complain about laptop screens being too small, but they're that much smaller than what television screens were back in the day.
It goes back and forth on that one, because a nice big laptop screen is sometimes nice, but that also means that you're going to have a heavier laptop, and it's going to drain more power.
Yeah, it's the eternal sort of laptop, you know, kind of debate that people have with, usually with themselves, is would I rather have the bigger screen and the more powerful hardware and a shorter and deal with shorter battery life and a heavier, you know, object, or I'd rather have, you know, like something more,
or an ultrabook,
something more slimlined, not as powerful, smaller, easier to carry around. I mean it just ends up coming down to kind of what people are doing with their laptop. If you're playing games,
go with the beefy sucker.
Yeah, you want that one that my brother has that melts chocolate if you put it behind the fan.
Found that out the hard way.
Yeah.
Was it one of the mustaches?
No, this was when we were on vacation, and we were just basically trading the laptop back and forth playing Skyrim.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and move on.
Yeah, we tangented it there.
One of the other series that I've watched recently was called Midaka Box? Midaka Box? Something like that?
Take your word for it.
Basically, this one takes place in a high school where a first year was elected as the student council president.
Okay.
And one of her main campaign promises was a suggestion box that she's going to basically take any suggestion and make it happen.
Oh no!
And it's like
you don't make promises like this.
Apparently, she's dedicated to making this happen, and so far they've kept it clean. Fortunately,
good.
But the very first one was, you know, hey, there's been these, you know, ruffians that have been camped out in the Kendo dojo since the club got disbanded. Can you take care of them? And she does it in the most peaceful way possible. Basically, she gets them all to enroll as kendo students, and then they start actually using it as a dojo instead of just a place to be delinquents.
Okay.
This is it's a very hard anime to describe. The main female character, who is the president, is very, there's nothing that we can't do, but we have to make sure we're doing it the right way to make sure that the person doesn't just leave and that's it. There's no satisfaction in their ending. For example, there was this one where this one girl got set to be, she was a second year and got set to be the lead in a track team, and one of the third years had gone and destroyed her spiked shoes.
That was mean.
Well, the president pretty much knew exactly who did it after some, you know,
investigating.
Yeah, she's apparently very good at investigating. She goes up to the person and is like, did you do this? Like, no.
Okay.
Just kind of walked away. And then it got to the person that did the crime so much that she bought the other girl's new spikes that she replaced the one she destroyed and ended up befriending her. It's entertaining to watch in, you know, small doses. So this is what I'm making through kind of slowly.
It's kind of a slice of life, almost.
Yeah, you can kind of take it that way. And then the video game that I played, I said I played Dishonored, came out on Tuesday, and I'm trying to go with the minimal deaths route. Not no deaths, but the minimal deaths route.
Killing only when you absolutely have to.
Well, killing only the target, essentially.
Well, there's guards that I end up killing sometimes, too.
Poor guards.
But not on purpose. I'll typically try to run and rehide from the guards, especially if there's a lot of them. But, like, even the targets, the very first target, spoiler alert kind of for anybody, but the very first target is what I'm going to talk about. As you're getting on your way, as you're moving on your way to him, you overhear some of the other guards say there's a way to excommunicate people of their rank, including his. There's a special mark that you can put on them, and then that makes it so they can no longer actually do their job, and they are basically kicked out of the order forever. So it's like, okay, so if you want to do that, you need to go here to find out the information on the mark, and then you could apply it to him. The way I did it was, I didn't quite do that, he ended up dying in my one, but I didn't kill him. He technically committed suicide. Because he was trying to poison an incorruptible guard. I went in there, found the drinks before they did, and swapped them. So, of course, then he drank the poisoned drink. Then I just kind of waited until the guy who just killed himself's guards came in, blamed the other guy. He took care of the guards for me, and then I went in and stole off of him what I needed. Stole off of the guy I just killed what I needed.
Well, I gotta give yourself credit for, you know, going a different route.
Yeah, and they definitely give you multiple routes to go. It's really nice.
And it's not just, like, good route and evil route. It's, you know...
Correct. I could have, you know, left the drinks and, you know, let things play out, then snuck up and killed the guy. I could have spilled the drinks.
You could have killed them all.
I could have killed them all. So it's definitely nice that there are multiple routes to go in this. And the powers are interesting how they work. Because the way you have a mana bar, and certain abilities take up amount of mana and it doesn't regen. And then some abilities, they'll use mana, but as long as you don't use any other mana abilities immediately, it'll regen back to where it was before you used the ability. Hmm. For example, the blink ability that allows you to jump distances real quick and, like, yeah, climb areas, it's one of those, you use it, as long as you don't use it immediately again, you get the mana that you used back. Same thing with the ability that lets you see through walls, see sound waves that you're making, and see the where the people are looking. So it lets you know, okay, what can they hear from me? Where are they looking? And what's the best way to sneak up behind them?
Okay.
But stuff like possessing a rat, or stopping time uses a set amount of mana plus the amount that regens. So it's kind of how they limit your abilities.
And so how do you regenerate your mana that is used?
There are mana potions. There's also, since I pre-ordered from GameStop, I have what's called a special bone rune, which they have several runes throughout the game that allow you to modify yourself. I have one that eating white rats restores mana. There's also one that drinking from a faucet restores mana. So there's different ways to do it. Same thing with health. There's a health potion, but you can also eat food to restore health that you'll find scattered across the area. And of course, there's side quests you can do for people. And there's this one tool you have called the Heart. Basically, it's how you find these bone runes and other runes in order to give yourself new abilities. If you trigger it when you're not pointing at anybody, it tells you something about the environment. If you trigger it while pointing at somebody, it'll tell you something about them.
Okay, interesting.
It's like when I was pointing at a thug and hit it, it's like, his father was one of the first people to die to the plague. Like, oh, well, that sucks.
Maybe that's why he's a thug.
And then there's this one insane lady called Granny Rags. She's nuts.
Well, considering your name.
when you use the Heart, it's like, she was once proposed to by an emperor.
Wonder what happened.
She went nuts.
But why?
Throughout the game, there's this being called the Outsider. He's the one that gave you your special abilities. She may have gone a little too far worshipping him.
Okay.
But so far I'm having a lot of fun with the game. I'm enjoying the fact that you can do different things if you want to. It'll definitely give it some replayability, because I'm already wondering, okay, I killed this one guy, and the area changes as a result of your actions. I wonder what happens if I would have excommunicated him instead. Also, they outright say during the cutscenes, it's like, that your actions have a result throughout the game. If you, the more people you kill, the more rats and the more what are called weepers, incredibly infected, will damage you just getting close to you. The more people you kill, the more of those that are around. The less you kill, the brighter the city is and the less of those you have to deal with. And swarms of rats are a big deal because they will attack you and devour bodies. Which is also a good way to get rid of evidence.
Your rat's body.
Well, and basically that's about it. One time, and I didn't even do this on purpose. Actually, no, I didn't do that one on purpose. There have been times where I put somebody unconscious and then a swarm of rats came and ate them. Not my fault. But there was another time, like right as you're escaping from the prison, you're walking above them on this grate if you go the way I went. And then you look down and all these rats come and kill them. So you want to watch out for swarms of rats. But I'm really enjoying it. I'm looking forward to getting more into it. I'm probably about 4 hours in, I'm thinking, and I'm only on the second mission because of the side missions I've done.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to playing more of that. And then I also got Fable Journey on Tuesday, but I haven't had a chance to play that at all. And then do you guys have anything else to add, or should I just go into my next anime?
Probably just go into the next anime, because...
Okay, yeah. Next anime, Sword Art Online. It's still currently being released in Japan. I believe they're only on episode 16. At least that's the highest episode Crunchyroll has. And they're supposed to have a total of either 23 or 24 episodes. Hulu has the first 5 right now. Looks like they're being done by Aniplex. So far they're just, yeah, we know what that means for the voice acting, possibly.
And we know what it means for the price of the DVD release, Aniplex. We have gone away from the model of 3 to 4 episodes per disc and charging an exuberant amount. We're into, you put everything on a couple of discs and charge that amount. Much, much better.
Yeah, 2 seasons, they could get away with 2 Blu-ray box sets. Because I think now the anime season is like 12 episodes.
Yeah, I don't understand what's with the 12 to 13, seasons, episodes sort of thing. It's like, what happened to... Maybe it was 26 was getting too long.
Maybe that way they can break it up between fall and spring seasons.
I don't know, or maybe it's better if they could say 12 to 13 episodes. If it's good, we can give it another run. If it's not, we don't put as much, you know, time and effort into it. Or maybe production. I know, you know, anime is a lot more flash now than what it used to be for TV series. So maybe it's just, you know, budget-wise, it's like, well, we'll just kind of streamline a little bit and make the quality look a little nicer.
But so, what Sword Art Online is, it's the future. I forget the actual year that they said. And you have this new gaming technology called Nerve Gear. Basically, when you put it on after and properly have it properly calibrated, it completely takes your nerve impulses. Like, say you moved your arm, instead of moving your real arm, it moves your digital arm. So your regular body doesn't do anything, but your virtual body does it all. And the very first MMO to use this project, to use this software, has been released. 10,000 copies were released, plus the 11,000 plus 1,000 for beta testers. So we got about 11,000 people in the world, and they can't log out. The guy that created it is apparently Nuckin' Futz, and has made it so they can't log out. If somebody tries to pull the headgear off, it releases a tiny microwave pulse that will destroy the brain. And the same thing happens if you die in the world. There's no way to resuscitate people; they'll just die. So the only way to get out of there is to defeat all 100 levels of the world. So that's what everybody's, that's what, you know, the strongest people are working on doing, while the other people are just kind of...
trying to survive?
Yeah, trying to make the best out of a bad situation. So far it's rather entertaining. Your main character, Tatsuo, I think is his name? I don't remember his name for 100% sure. He was a beta tester, and some people blame the beta testers on not giving them better information about the world around them, although some of it has changed. But, so he just kind of is a solo player. He doesn't really party with anybody. He's not in a guild with anybody. So he's what they call a solo player.
I must call it alone.
He's a really powerful solo player, and he'll work with other guilds sometimes to get a difficult process taken care of. And he's made, of course, they've made friends throughout the world. But beyond that, he's basically solo. But it's really entertaining because it basically shows, it's like, okay, it is a game, but we really have to worry about dying. So there's rules, laws. In the last episode I watched, they were investigating how somebody was able to murder people in a, what's called a safe zone. I'm enjoying it so far. It's not fan service-y whatsoever. They've completely kept that out of there, which would have been real easy for them to do since it's, you know, an unrealistic online area. But anybody that had made a avatar when this all happened, all their avatars were changed to look like them in real life. Because the nerve gear is sitting all over their entire head so it can see their faces, and to calibrate it, they had to touch themselves all over their body. So it knows what they look like and what their proportions are, yes. So the people are actually the people in there. But yeah, I'm enjoying it. I'm looking forward to watching more of it as it comes out.
Sounds interesting.
Mm-hmm. And that's all I have.
Yeah, I don't have anything else special other than random musings. They are random. To buy a 3DS or not buy a 3DS. Or maybe buy a tablet, but not the tablet my brother has. Because that one made me cry when he told me how much he spent on it. And I'm like, I can't afford that.
Well, the Windows 8 tablet is supposed to be coming out soon, and I think it was estimated around $200.
Yeah, I found the Samsung Galaxy 2 or 3 tablet on Amazon, and it was only like $250, and it was fairly highly rated. I'm just going to do more research. I've been debating. Probably will get a 3DS first. I'm kind of leaning a little bit more, but having the tablet would be nice for art.
You said you had a story relating to the 3DS?
Oh, no. I had a story relating to old school games. When one of our friends told us about rebuying an NES, and they were looking for old NES games that they had no longer owned, and one of them was Battletoads. Just for ha-has, I was like, I'm doing some stuff on eBay. I'm going to look up, you know, some random games. So I was looking up, you know, like, Dragon Warrior series for the regular NES. And they're not nearly as expensive as what they used to be for, you know, used NES games. But they're still fairly expensive. And I was like, I wonder what some of my games are worth. So for ha-has, I typed in Harvest Moon for the Super Nintendo. Because my brother and I happened to get it brand new, in the box, from Media Play when it was still around, for like half off. It was like in the discount bin.
Nice.
I was finding copies going for at least a minimum of $300, if not more, on eBay. And I'm like, I wonder what other games are. So I'm just typing random titles of, you know, games that I owed. I said you got a virtual gold mine. Really?
So now you have to decide when you're going to sell these and how to dole them
out. Or if I ever want to do it. I'm just like, I haven't played them for a while, but I'm still attached to them. But a couple of sales and I could go buy myself Photoshop. I just couldn't believe it. But as part of the thing is, I bought a lot of ultra rare games. They're considered ultra rare games now, but it's just because I really liked RPGs and I bought a lot of them. The only one I am kind of mad at myself that I never bought that I should have was Earthbound. I kind of had debated about it, but I just never got around to it, and I should have gotten around to it.
Yep. I never played that one either. And it's one of those that's never been released on Virtual Console that I'm aware of.
No, because Nintendo is so weird here in the U.S. about the Earthbound or Mother series. It's like, they're like, no.
Like, we don't think that an American audience will appreciate the series.
There's a lot of stuff that they're like, they just don't want to take the time and the money and stuff to localize some of this stuff because it will sell well amongst the audience that it's aimed for, but this audience is very small compared to your first-person shooter audience. So for some of them, it's not worth the time and effort, but it's like, we're missing out on a lot of great games because of that. And I'm like, why didn't we get all these other crazy games back in the day? It's probably because there weren't as many, and they're like, why not? It's not until later where I realized where video games finally came from, that they were from Japan and not here, that stuff started making a little bit more sense. Because you're like, oh, that's why they did it that way, because it's a cultural thing. I always wondered about certain things. I'm like, that just seems so weird. But I always thought it was very fun and imaginative. It's just because of a different culture who was making it. But yeah.
Now they're all over the world. You got France, Canada, US. Japan, U.S., video games are definitely much more international than they were in the Sega and NES eras.
Yeah, there was a few things. Like, Star Tropics is purposely made for the Western audience. I don't know. We liked it a lot. Second one, the play control sucks. But I digress. But yeah. And what's good, too, is a lot of these things, too, we still have the boxes and the instruction booklets. And that kind of actually adds to the value. Though I'm not as good as some people who had, like, games mint in box with the shrink wrap still. Those were going for like $1,000.
I don't know how you, like, think to hold on to a game.
The only thing I can think of is somebody finds it, you know, some place is getting cleaned out and it's randomly there still.
Yeah.
Or somebody bought it for somebody and it got shoved in the closet for Christmas or birthday and forgotten about, and 10 years later we find it. How does anything like that happen? Don't know. But... Yeah. Yeah, that's my random
all right, talkings. Well, I think we'll go ahead and call it a day there. You can go ahead and find us at thegameslave.com. There you can find our Twitter's handles at thegameslave, at assimilator, and at iProteus, along with a link to our Facebook page and our store. And yeah, everything's on the site, people. Everything. I've done this 100 times now. You should, if you've been listening a while, you know what's there. In the meantime, you have a great week, and game on.
Game on.
Game on.